go. One, two, a one, two, three.
Game on, game on, it's game time. Excellent. Game on, game on, it's game time. Excellent.
Stormy streams.
Hey, Stormy. Hi, Stormy. How are you going?
No bucket necessary.
As rough as guts. Grubby Goron's with us tonight. Hello, lads.
Hey, Pete. How have you been?
Come close to the microphone.
Hi.
Yeah, that's good. That's so much better. How about, were you directing that question at me straight?
I was directing it to whoever wants to answer it.
I'm going well, thank you. Clearly we had to flip the script tonight, flip the shows, because I had family things to attend to. You know, like, when it comes to getting Invisalign fitted, not me, my wife, they really mean it when they say that, sorry, the only time that we can actually get this part of your Invisalign fitted is at 4:30 on a Wednesday afternoon. So as I said to her, can you please try and explain that I have to be at a studio to record a gaming show with my good friends?
Don't they know that this is very important? I was about to say the most important thing there, but then I thought Liz might not like that.
Well, shit, clearly not.
Yeah, I don't think they noticed at all. I don't think they cared.
Anyway, here we are. How are you going, straight? You well?
I'm doing well.
That's good. I love your shirt.
Thank you very much. My little baby Yoda shirt.
My kids loved your shirt as well.
They did. I got told all about I forget. I know one's Miller and one's Izzy, but I forget Miller? Which order they.
About her
baby Yoda pajamas.
She's got
as
baby
well.
Yoda pajamas. Mm-hmm. Miller, I think it's almost there. I reckon almost there. That he's going to be from straight to Uncle Straight.
Wow,
he's getting very close, Grumpy. Very close.
Outrageous.
I'm already the cool uncle for my sister's kids because I've got all the cool toys.
Oh, man. Do I have all the cool toys, actually? how are you, Grumpy?
Yeah, pretty good. Not too bad.
That's good.
Happy to be here. You know, happy to take Stormy's spot.
Are you?
Yeah. No, I am.
You're not very convincing.
No. Very happy to be here. And again, very happy to take Stormy's spot.
Oh, poor Stormy.
She's, you know, obviously preoccupied at the moment, but.
Last week of uni for Stormy.
Having been there last year, I'm very happy for her because, you know, getting close to the end is very exciting. And, you know, having to never go to uni again is also pretty cool.
You know, you do actually get to a stage where, I don't know if this happens for everybody. For me, I certainly do miss my uni days. But we had an absolute ball. Like, it was curtain. I was part of the Commerce Club. It sounds nerdier than what it was. You know, we owned the Tav. Wednesday nights, where the Curtin Commerce Club rocked up. Look out. So we had an absolute ball. So I do miss my uni.
I thought it was the engineers that ruled Curtin. No, but they had their own bar, didn't they?
The engineers thought they ruled Curtin, just like we thought we ruled Curtin, just like the nursing staff thought they ruled Curtin. But anyway, we should talk about games.
Because we love talking about games. And, of course, we've got a bloody good game of the week.
Oh, look at this. Now, you haven't been grumpy. Look at that. That's Aussie Broadband. Look at them.
Oh, yep.
Yep, bloody old good mates. Broadband. Yeah.
They did my parents' broadband. All good.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Is it good broadband?
Yeah, mate. It doesn't cut out at all. I've been using it the last few weeks since I've been at home.
Would you say it's bloody good?
I'd say it's bloody great. Yeah. Outrageous.
You can't because it's not the tagline.
Bloody great broadband.
It's bloody good broadband.
Bloody good broadband it is.
So this is the bloody good game of the week. Guys, this dropped today. I saw this in our Discord and I thought, bloody hell, I've got to get onto this and have a look. This is Roller Champions and it's a free-to-play game by Ubisoft. Here's, you can see on the screen right now, this is Ubisoft guy. I can tell you, from having played about a half hour or so, I know that's not much, but from the small time that I played of it, I know that I'm going to be playing this game for a while. I had an absolute ball. It's Rocket League, but a little bit retro. I love the styles a little bit different. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because with Rocket League, Rocket Cars, the physics behind that game, I can never really get my head around that. I'm not very good at this. This seems, right off the bat, it seems a lot more, what's the word for it? A lot more accessible.
Right.
If that makes sense. All right, a lot more accessible. I like rollerblading. I've got a pair of rollerblades.
I'm watching this and I'm thinking, does Dean Cain pop up anywhere in this?
He doesn't, but he should.
He should. Now, I feel like that's a cameo that should be made.
But no, look, I didn't get too deep into the game. What I really appreciated about it right off the bat was that it was really simple just to set up and get involved. The tutorial's really straightforward. It's only, half a dozen different things that you're going to learn. And obviously the game's going to open up as you sort of get into it deeper. But you're virtually thrown straight into a 3v3 match. Matchmaking was nice and quick. I mean, that's nothing too unusual because I hadn't heard much about this game until today when I saw somebody pop up about it in the Discord. I feel like this game is going to take off. If my experience was anything to go by, this is the sort of game where it's a Friday night, get your mates together, you're having some beers. It doesn't matter if you're in the same room or not, but you're just going to enjoy yourself just yelling and screaming at passing the ball to each other. Oh, look at it. It's bloody good.
I can't, because we were talking a bit before the show, and because I remember when Fall Guys came out, and we were just getting together in the Discord and just having fun. And that's kind of what it sounds like you're saying here. It's just plain old bloody good fun.
Yeah, and it's as simple as that. Again, if my experience is anything to go by, you won't ever hit the goal. You just won't. It's good, like the way that they've integrated controls into this to shoot and all of that sort of stuff. You're managing a lot of things going on when you're actually playing, when you're actually on your blades and you're in the game. Shooting is hard because you are going at 100 mile an hour when you're into it. To get the ball off this is what I really like about it. To get the ball off the other team, you just tackle them. So it's contact sport while you're in there.
Good.
It's fast pace. It's quick. You just really feel it when you do things. There you go. You just saw a tackle on screen there. Then when you hit the goal, it's a celebration. I thoroughly recommend it. For the fact that this is a free-to-play game as well, I thoroughly recommend getting into it.
I think I remember reading as well, the more laps you do around the circuit, the more points you can score.
Yeah, well, so that's part of the... So what happens is you've got a 1-2-3-4 count, right? So you've got four frames that pop up. If you're doing like a 3v3, for example, you've got the ring. Have you guys ever played the... It's the one that that a lot of people try to break the record on. I can't remember. I think it's from Mario Kart Double Dash.
Baby Park.
Baby Park.
Yeah, Baby Park, right? So, and we're seeing it on screen right now. This is the ring that I played first. It's very similar to Baby Park's ring, if you've ever played that. And it's four panels will pop up. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you go through each one of those panels. You can also pass through the panels. Basically, it's the ball that acknowledges whether you've passed through a panel or not. Mm-hmm. You do that three times, you get your 5 points, still score. You can see on the screen now, pump, that's to get your speed up. There's jumps and there's all sorts of stuff. It's not too complicated. There's enough going on to keep it interesting. But it's just good fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by it because I was saying to you before we started that, like, I tend to rate myself as being pretty well across when things are coming out.
Yeah.
But I'd honestly never heard of this. I don't know whether or not they kind of, stealth drop this sort of thing, or is it announced before? Honestly, it looks really similar to, that sport game they released last year. I can't remember the name of it. It's escaping me right now.
That was you've got BMX.
The BMX.
Riders Republic.
Riders Republic. Yeah. Honestly, it looks like a mode that could have just been in that. Obviously, you have to pay for that game, so it makes more sense for them to release it free to play.
And look, you can see, Roller Pass, there's different tiers of that. The Roller Pass is their season pass, essentially. Mm. So there's going to be some sort of the premium version of this is the stuff that you pay for, the season pass. I do like the idea of a season pass. I think it's sort of for those of us that aren't really going to be able to play that game as much as what a lot of other people are going to. I'm more of a casual gamer, more of a party gamer when it comes to this sort of stuff. I really like the fact that I'm going to be able to just jump on here and dive in. And then obviously, you know, if you want to put a bit of money into this game, you're going to be able to, and you're going to get some cool stuff out of it.
I feel like this is a free-to-play model done well. Like, it's not loot boxes. You know what you're getting on your track. You know, if
well,
you
I feel like all season passes do that well.
Yeah, that's
like the progression season passes for me are 100% the most open and honest way to do you know, cosmetic microtransactions in a game, without a doubt.
Awesome. And as so long as the progression, like you actually feel the progression, because there are games that have these sort of passes where it just feels like a slog, even though there is a pass there. So you know, if they're providing, you know, current in-game currency and rewards at a semi-decent rate, well then, you know, people are going to keep playing it. What did you end up playing it on?
Now, here we go. So I played it on a shitty old Acer laptop.
Okay.
That I've got. I mean, I say shitty old. This is a couple of years old.
Well, it managed to run it, I guess.
It managed to run it. It was a little bit laggy. It did suffer performance drops. But that's more down to the hardware of the laptop than the actual game. We are seeing in chat that I think it was Gamma. He had a few crashes on the PC side today. You know, I guess we live in a world now where there's always going to be a little bit of teething issues on day one for most games.
Well, there's that many different hardware configurations for PCs. Yeah. You never get to hit all of them.
But you know what? Considering that I had the experience that I did on the hardware that I did, I think if you're running it on any sort of standard, relatively well put together PC, you're going to have a good time. It is coming out for past gen consoles, PS4 and Xbox One, where it's going to land first, and then PS5 and Xbox Series S and X are going to get their copies as well. I really want to play this on console.
Yeah, that's probably where I'll likely start, maybe on the PlayStation 5. But even then, looking at it now, I got a PC that's more than capable. So,
oh mate, yeah, have a go. You'll enjoy it, no matter what you're going to play it on. But yeah, just the this to me really feels like it's a Friday night, lads. Jump into the Discord. We're gonna jump in chat. We're gonna have a couple of beers together, sit on the couch, and just spend the night, you know, tackling the shit out of other teams.
Awesome.
So yeah, very good. That's my bloody good game of the week. What do you guys got,
Kel?
Well, what about you, Grumpy? What have you got for us?
Yeah, so my game of the week is Machinarium. So it didn't come out today. It came out 13 years ago. But those of you who visit Game On Oz website would have noticed last week that I put up a piece about this game. So I think it was titled Mesmerized by Machinarium, a story
I did notice
10 years
that.
In the making.
I did.
So yeah, in basic sort of summary, I've been out of my home at the moment. My bathrooms are getting renovated. I went and stayed at my parents' house for a week. And the only console I took with me was my PlayStation 3. And this game was present on the PS3. It was a game that I originally played 10 years ago in 2012. Played about 15 minutes of it, stopped playing it, and then...
Do you remember why you stopped playing it?
I think because it was probably too hard, to be honest.
Really?
Point-and-click games.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Some of them get pretty obscure.
This one definitely gets obscure. But yeah, I probably just gave up, you know. I was 15 or whatever. I was probably just wanting to play Call of Duty. No, you know?
Kids.
Yeah, exactly. You know? The brain wasn't there. It's here now, apparently. But yeah, it's as you can see, it's a point and click sort of game. The art style's a bit interesting, but definitely something that I like the look of. Soundtrack's awesome, really cool.
What I find interesting about you bringing this game up is that, you know, you say your 15-year-old self didn't appreciate it at the time, but now you're... How much older are you now?
We're 10 years. You're 10,
you're right. So your 25-year-old self appreciates this now. And I find that interesting for a couple of reasons. One, it's, you know, it's clearly got a good story enough to keep your 25-year-old self intrigued. But the other thing is it sounds like it's held up after all this time.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the developer of this game, Amanita Design, the day that I posted this piece, actually announced a new game as well. And they've been making games constantly. And I've heard the names of them. There's one called Creeks, which came out 4 or 5 years ago. It's an indie game. You know, I see the name and I never really bothered to pay it any attention.
Mm.
But now it's something that I'm definitely going to play. But yeah, it wasn't just the fact that the game held up. It was the kind of this the social aspect of it, because I played it in the living room with the family there. And, you know, it was just a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon sort of thing. And, you know, I was just, you know, hogging the living room TV wanting to play some games. And everyone kind of sat, you know, mum, dad, my girlfriend, everyone sat down. And, you know, you're trying to figure out a puzzle and you can't quite do it. Everyone's got an idea.
Ah, so they got involved.
That's the thing, yeah.
That's
so
cool.
So everyone got involved and it's like, oh, why don't you mix these two items together to get, you know, get there or whatever. And that was the whole, basically the whole experience was spent with family in a game that's otherwise a single player point and click adventure.
Yeah.
So that was what I found not most special. I still think the game is very special, but just the fact that it ended up becoming a social experience as well.
What's the general plot behind it? Like, who are you? What are you trying to do?
All right, so pretty sure, I can't remember this fella's name anymore.
Let's call him Frank.
I think it's Felix.
Felix.
Right. Or Joseph, but Joseph might be the developer. Don't yell at me for that. But essentially, he gets dropped at a scrapyard, and essentially you piece him together.
Yeah.
And you head into the city, and when you rock up at the city, you see these shady figures kind of planting a bomb at the top of a tower in the city. So you go to try and essentially stop this terror plot almost, you know, before it happens. And your girlfriend's in the city as well, so you're also trying to rescue her. So essentially the aim is to, you know, take out these three. I think that's two of them there, potentially with some of the bomb there.
Tall, thin one and a short, fat one.
So yeah, your plan is to kind of stop them and get your girlfriend and get out.
Yeah, right.
And it's a couple of hours. A lot of the time is spent, you know, bashing your head against the wall of trying to find out what the obtuse puzzle actually needs you to do.
Yeah.
Which can get a bit annoying, but the thing that makes that less annoying is that just the vibe of the world is so, although it's kind of like got that sort of grimy look, it is very peaceful.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack really plays into that. And it's something now that, you know, the soundtrack is something that I play at work just while I'm doing my programming work.
What's the name of the game again?
Machinarium.
Yes. And you can go and check it out, GameOnOz.com.
Yeah, give it a read.
Give it a good old
give it
read.
Give it a gaze.
That's it. And of course, last but not least. Or
what is your least, bloody good game of the week, Straight Jacket Jim?
My bloody good game of the
what
week.
What is it?
I actually only started playing it yesterday and finished it last night, but it's a reasonably short game. It's called Flynn, Son of Crimson. So it's this sort of pixel arty adventure game. So the bit we're watching at the moment is very early on in the game. So you get these towns that have got people in them. You can do quests. But as you go through, you get better weapons. So like you start off with this little crappy sword, but then you find this crimson stuff and it goes in your weapon and your sword becomes this red crimson weapon. And then you find a crimson axe and crimson claws and they attack differently. So sword's a sword. It does your stabby stuff. Axe is a bit slower and your claws are like punches and scrapes and stuff. And so that's very, very quick. So if you're watching this at the moment, you'll see a dog-like creature with the main character as well.
I really like his companion.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, he doesn't stay there very long to begin with, but he comes back in later parts of the game.
Oh, good. He looks like a Pokemon.
He kind of does, doesn't he?
He looks like he could be a Pokemon.
Yeah, when you said he went away, I kind of got scared.
Yeah,
for about
He comes.
2 seconds.
He comes back. He comes back. But
that's
like,
good.
It's like, So and then you got to go around and get these spirits to power him up. And but just I found the fights in it. So the enemies to start with are pretty basic. You know, you hit them, but then you go further into them, and the larger enemies get a stagger meter. So you stagger them and they get stunned for a while and you can just wail on them for a bit more. And then you also get, there's each spirit is guarded by a boss and they have different abilities as well. So when you defeat them, you'll end up getting an ice power. So you, there's blocks in there that you can freeze so you can smash them and freeze them at your will, really. There's also a lightning power, which you need to defeat some enemies. And there's all there's a fire one as well. So that doesn't hit for much damage initially, but then it gives burn damage over a certain amount of time.
So you've got various elementals over time that... So I love these 2D platformers. Yeah.
And what I really liked about it was if you wanted to just sit there and play it, it's pretty straightforward. But it's also got secrets in there as well. So you'll see here's this little – there's a treasures that you can find in various stages. And you can take them back to somebody and sell them, and you get these red crystals, which are your currency to do power-ups later on in the game. I'm just going to skip the video ahead a bit more so you can see – a little bit there.
Got a fan in Raven Sky saying this looks awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is a really good. It's just a fun little platformer game. let's ignore that. It's
bloody ads.
Yeah, it's just. It really is just a fun little platformer, and it's varied enough that you can go back and unlock more powers, train, because that's what the red crystals are used for. You've got the health of the big green diamonds, but then you can also expand the little circles as well. So that's a recharge on your health. And so there was the door that we just saw on the video is a secret. So you have to go into other stages and find the key to unlock that in other stages. So, and then there's challenges that unlock and get you more rewards. So it's very, for me, it was just a fun game. And with some, like I said, I knocked it off in about 4 or 5 hours. But it was fun, and that's all I was looking for at the time.
Mm.
And this was on Games Pass. I just had a look and went, "Oh yeah, this looks pretty cool. This looks up my alley," and went for it.
What was it called again?
Flynn, Son of Crimson.
Flynn, Son of Crimson.
Made by a dev called Studio Thunderstorm, and was published by Humble Games. So it only released last year in September. So, but like I said, just a fun game.
I don't think I will ever get tired of this style of game. Like the 2D platformer, the levels, the various heights, I don't know if this goes all the way back to, you know, my heady old Mega Man days, where I first really got introduced to the style of game like this, but there's just something about these that they just pack so much into their panels. Yeah, I'll never get tired of them.
Yeah, and this one is done really well. Like some of these types of games can be a little bit meh, but the way it does things where you have to decide what abilities you want to use and when to use them, I think is done really well. In fact, I have to say the only real complaint I had about this game was that you moved really, really slow when you went across the rope.
Right. Yeah, okay.
That was the only...
You can't speed that up?
No. Well, you can jump along if there's nothing above you to hit you.
Doesn't sound like a huge complaint.
No, it really isn't. When you can say that's the only complaint that I have about the game, it's a pretty good game.
Sounds like one of those like Uber ratings.
Yeah.
Or like those Uber Eats ratings or restaurant ratings or something that you see on Google.
Yeah.
And it's 4.5 stars. Everything was perfect, but...
Yeah,
but I can't give you 5 stars.
Move me along on the rope a little bit quicker, please.
What's holding you back on that last half star, Diane? Yeah. What is wrong? Sort it out, Diane. But yeah, to add to this, like this definitely looks like something that I would play. You know, if this had come out, you know, when I was reviewing something, potentially, you know, I might have missed it. But if this had come up to me as something to play for review when it had come out, it's definitely something I would have asked for. And yeah, like you said, Pete. 2D platformers even 3D of course as well, but 2D, something about 2D platformers again. If the movement feels right, I'm there.
Yeah, it's the side scrolling effect. Let's call it the side scrolling effect, guys.
But it's Games Pass as well. Sometimes you just find some treasures on there. Like I can't remember if I know I said it on here, but I'm not sure if you were around for it. But I was playing a game. It was called a Deer Simulator or something.
I've heard of it. Yeah,
it's just ridiculous, man. Like it's words cannot describe how ridiculous this game is.
Oh, you don't need them. Deer Simulator's enough.
Yeah, but it's not just Deer Simulator. It's you're walking around and then you realize that you can hurt things in the city. So you start killing, like bashing up buildings and cars, and then all of a sudden, police sheep show up and try to arrest you. So you beat them and you keep destroying stuff. And then police polar bears show up, which are basically polar bears in a big ass police car. Like, that's their body. The body is a police car. But it's just ridiculously cool. And it entertained me to no end just because it was stupid and it was just what I needed right at that time.
Yeah.
So you said roughly around 4 to 5 hours. Was there much in the way of like collectibles or anything to actually make you keep playing, or was it just not, 4 or 5 hours?
For me, there's probably not a lot more other than that, but like it's obvious, like the level will tell you when there's another exit. So you might be going around trying to collect things. Actually, here's another thing that didn't annoy me, but just kind of seemed out of place with the cutscenes that you had. So instead of like having the little pixel guys do things, it just threw up a few images. And to me is also not a big thing. That was a devs put more time and effort into actually playing the game than the cutscene. So yeah.
Mm. So that's why it got 4.5 stars.
That's exactly
right. very cool.
But yeah.
All right, those are our bloody good games of the week, hey?
And they were bloody good.
They were bloody good. Thank you very much to Aussie Broadband. I just want to apologise to everybody who sometimes I forget I'm on camera, who witnessed me scratch my crotch then. So,
did you do that, did you?
Yeah.
All right.
It was a good one too.
Is it?
It was really good.
Good scratch.
It was a really good scratch. Oh, I can see you're on my Twitter. Can you just check my notifications?
Sure. There?
Oh, yeah.
As long as I don't lose what I'm bookmarking. There we
go. Oh, yeah, that's looking good. That's looking real good. All right, what do we got?
So this one's not quite for me, but I know it's on a lot of people's radar because they did really, really like the first game. But Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 has a release date.
Wow.
And they celebrated by releasing...
He tapped into a surveillance drone. Eyes on.
Roach.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy.
Yeah. So for those of you that are listening to us instead of watching, they've done this video where they've got a heap of shipping containers and put parts of like a Modern Warfare image on it. And they just slowly bring these ships together and show it. I'm not sure, like not being a Modern Warfare person, I don't know if this was a map in Modern Warfare and that they've recreated on the boats or what, and that's why people were kind of going nuts for it.
Man, it's been that long since I've bloody played Modern Warfare 2. Like legitimately that long. The shipping containers are stirring some sort of tiny memory in the back of my mind somewhere. But, people are going nuts for this game because anybody who's anybody... like Modern Warfare 2, especially for sort of like our vintage, you know, anywhere from the age of, I reckon, 30 to, you know, just past 40. This was the multiplayer game. This is the game that got you invested in Modern Warfare. For me, I still remember the day walking into my cousin's bedroom. He's got his PlayStation 3 on. He's busy yelling and screaming down his microphone at his mate. And they were playing Modern Warfare. I looked at him and said, "What are you playing?" He said, "This is Modern Warfare 2. And I had one go of it and immediately went out that afternoon and went and got it myself. And I spent the next 3-4 years playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 multis with the cousins and the mates and the stuff like that. And like, this is how much of an impact that it had. No Modern Warfare game has ever been able to stack up. Right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Now, like, you know, from the story to the multiplayer, I don't know if it's because it's the first one that you're invested in and it's kind of like you never forget your first, but I the only thing that has tantalized me enough when it comes to Call of Duty are the Treyarch zombie modes. Mm. Like, that's, you know, like I've gotten a lot of enjoyment out of those. Particularly, I think it was Call of Duty, Black Ops 2, Black Ops 3, when you had maps like Origins and stuff like that, when the zombies modes actually really took on a story path as well, those were enjoyable, you know. But yeah, for me, Modern Warfare 2, like I reckon a lot of people, it was the Modern Warfare and always will be.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Like, with myself personally, I didn't really get into Call of Duty until I actually got into it quite late. Black Ops was my first that I technically owned and played a lot of, and I probably peaked Call of Duty playing in Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
Which, again, was still enjoyable, but, you know, going back to 2 at the time, you know, because I think Modern Warfare 2 was the one prior to Black Ops. Modern Warfare 2 definitely the peak in terms of the multiplayer for at least the Modern Warfare series. I know the modern Modern Warfare that came out a few years back, that this is a sequel of, was also very well received. But yeah, I haven't actually played it. Funnily enough, it's the game that's in my PS5 at the moment, but I actually haven't played it yet.
Oh, mate, get into it. I mean, you know, all of the favourites are back. John Price, Gaz, Soap, Ghost. This was also one of the games where you play the story mode. It had one of the most epic shock twists, right? Yeah. So, I'm not going to give it away, but for those of you that, because there's going to be a brand new generation that are going to be playing this for the first time, and I don't want to give it away. But it did. It had one of the most, like, gut-wrenching shock twists towards the end of the story mode.
100%. And they actually released the campaign for Modern Warfare 2. They made a Modern Warfare 2 remastered a few years ago that had just the campaign in it.
Yeah, yeah.
That game still holds up, the campaign. And obviously this will be a more modern sort of reimagining, because I don't think the prior Modern Warfare campaign was exactly the same as the Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare campaign. I think it's a little bit different. But yeah, I'm happy to hear Soap's back. I didn't know if Soap was in it still.
Soap is back.
No, that's cool.
I have not played a Call of Duty game. I think the last one I probably played was, there's the level where you've infiltrated terrorists and you're walking through the airport.
Mm. Yeah. This was one of the original podcast chats between myself and Dan back in the day. Yeah, as well. I can't quite remember what got us onto this particular chat. But it was a moment of, I think it might have been a moment of like how, I think we might have been talking about classifications or ratings. Mm. Because, you know, there was like We Happy Few, for example, when it went through all of the classification furor.
Mm.
And then it sort of got us into a bit of a black hole around games that had preceded it and yet managed to get themselves like an M or M15 plus classification, this being one of them.
Mm.
And yet the airport scene is one of the most harrowing scenes of its time.
I was so uncomfortable playing through that.
I like how we tried to avoid it and we still got there anyway.
Is this the level that...
This is the one.
Oh, okay. Because there was another one I was thinking of where there was a twist right at the end that I don't want to say.
Oh, no, the twist right at the end is the one that I'm thinking of. Right, so okay. This was another one.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
But, yeah, there's a twist right at the end, which is...
just that airport scene, because I remember at the time all the furor about you can't do this in a video game. And I go, it just, like, it's storytelling, and it made me feel so uncomfortable. Like, I've got no, you put me in Halo, I will mow down other Spartans and Covenant until the end of time, but you make me, put me in an airport and tell me, like, the mission objective is to shoot civilians, and I'm just like, I don't want to do this.
I mean, in a way, it's actually a very powerful story
device.
Yeah, yeah. Because like you're not going to feel good doing that, and it kind of just hammers home how evil the person you're working for actually is.
Oh, absolutely. Mm.
So in a way, it is very powerful, but it isn't something that's going to be comfortable.
Some of the maps that are returning from the original. Now this is so High Rise is back. Quarry is back. Quarry was my favorite. There was a particular part, like area in Quarry, and there was a time there where people were just getting stuck into snipers. And especially when we were on the sniper's grind, and there was a part in Quarry where one team would just set up camp in one end and the other team would just set up camp in the other, and you'd literally just pot shot against each other for the entire game. Terminal is back. Afghan is back as well. And there's a heap of other Modern Warfare, like Warzone 2 maps. So there's plenty of old school stuff for legacy players of Modern Warfare 2, and plenty of new stuff on the way as well. Have we heard? So this is the one thing that I haven't been able to find yet and confirm. The story. Now, is the story different?
Well, yeah, that's what I was just saying. Like, I think it is slightly. I think it's different in a way, but I feel like a lot of the story beats tend to be the same. That's what it was in the case of Modern Warfare.
Are we talking
2018?
Like,
I believe it was.
Are we talking like, because there was that GoldenEye remake for the Wii. Out on the Wii first, yeah, and it put in Daniel Craig's Bond, and the levels were different, but it was still the GoldenEye story. So we're talking that sort of.
No, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. This is something that I have to double check and have a look at.
Yeah, I might actually have to play it, considering it's in my PlayStation, you know. I might actually have to run through it, and then I can confirm it.
You mean you're going to play a game before you form an opinion on it?
Well, yeah, I mean.
This is the internet. We're not here to do that. We're just here to make unfounded judgments on the game before it's come out.
No, I can't be doing that. Got to try my hardest.
Hang on.
I can feel time. Modern Warfare 2, like,
excuse me.
I feel like it's also going to be a very important game given Vanguard kind of just came and went. I don't know. Obviously, you said you're not very well across Call of Duty, but Call of Duty Vanguard to me is the only Call of Duty I haven't bought since Black Ops.
Oh, wow.
Right? And I mean, I get into them later and later each year as I've gone along. So I'd say Modern Warfare I bought, but I hadn't played. World War II I played a very short amount of. Cold War, which was the first one that came out on the PlayStation 5, I played a decent amount of that, very, very enjoyable. But Vanguard kind of just came and went, and that seems to be
Vanguard did
the vibe across everywhere, really, is that it didn't hit the way it was meant to. And I feel like I think it was a World War II era game as well, which tended to be, you know, people wanted the World War II stuff, the World War I stuff. They wanted the modern stuff. They didn't want the future stuff. Like, Infinite Warfare wasn't what they wanted, right? But the return to World War II kind of didn't hit this time.
No, so, because I think they went too far back. Like, and that's this is something that I've had many a chat with mates of mine who I played a lot of Modern Warfare 2. Modern Warfare 2 is the sweet spot between just enough, like, new age tech, right? You know, cool robots and bits and pieces, but not so new age that it seems out of the realm of possibility.
No.
You know what I mean? But also not that far back, excuse me, that you don't feel like all you're doing is just basically running with the same half dozen weapons.
Yeah, and you've got iron sights and iron sights alone.
Yeah, and I'm like, seriously, like I understand what they were trying to do, and maybe it was a good reset or just something completely different. I just couldn't pick it up. For me, Modern Warfare 2 just struck a really nice balance of everything. That's what I liked about it the most. So this here, so what I've found, this is from videogameschronicle.com. Excuse me. And it says, as first reported by VGC, Modern Warfare 2's campaign will be centered around the drug war against Colombian cartels. Sources said the single-player story is a grittier take on Modern Warfare 29's campaign with more close-quarters combat, trigger decision-making in the classic Call of Duty set-piece moments fans have come to expect. Task Force 141 will be returning, providing playable characters in the campaign as well as the operators in the multiplayer side. However, this time the task force will be scrapping the desert-themed military uniforms, bulky helmets, a heap of other things make their return. Overhauled AI system. Enemies now holding wounds, screaming and cursing. More realistic to gunfire. Immersion. Weapon jamming, character shaking, and other additional animations have been added to the game. So again, I mean, not too much. There is something here about the Warzone map.
It looks like favela.
Yeah. What is it here? Caldera.
Oh, okay.
And the upcoming, which was launched shortly, it does look like favela, doesn't it?
Well, that photo is definitely favela.
That's definitely favela. Oh, hang on. So Modern Warfare 2 will be expanded upon, essentially creating a massive new map. Ah, okay. Locales from the original Modern Warfare 2. Will be expanded upon and stitched together for the Warzone map.
Right.
So likely to include expanded version of favela and other classic arenas such as Afghan Quarry Terminal and Trailer Park.
Cool.
So yeah.
Nice.
That's it, guys. That's it.
Yeah, I think this will be the last Call of Duty for a while too. I think they're going on the 3-year cycle now as well. I don't know if this is the last one.
I thought they said they were going hard. I thought they said they were coming out and cracking the whip.
Well, no, I heard that they were slowing down. I don't know if it's next year's Call of Duty and then they're going on a hiatus. But they're gonna. I think it's gonna be, yeah, every 2 or 3 years. I think it was.
I kind of hope they do slow it down because, like, I feel this about a lot of games. And I look at shooter games. I look at COD. I look at I can't even remember anymore now. But
Battlefield.
Battlefield. And they come out so often. It's kind of like Dan the Internet's review for what was it FIFA or something. It's the same fucking game. there's only so much pew pew you can do, and it just I said doo-doo. But yeah, it just doesn't. There's too much change. Mm. Well, sorry, there's not enough change for me. If I was into that, to buy another shooting game.
Yeah, and I feel the main issue as well, like from my experience with them, is that you rock up into the Call of Duty game 10 months after it's come out, and it's only really got 2 months left. You know, you're still going to be able to get games. I mean, if you went back and played Modern Warfare 2 on a PS3 right now, you'd probably still find a server or two. But you're not going to, like, that game's peak is dead up. It's dead after a year to a point, you know? And it's, you know, if you don't play things immediately as they come out, you're going to miss out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's an issue as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, what else is happening, mate?
Well, there's been a couple of things going on in Twitch chat. Thank you to Drop Bear and to Troy in Perth for those subs. Very much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
We got a soundboard. We're almost professionals.
I haven't had a chance to actually
check what they are.
We'll muck around with them and do some things. And
oh, here we go.
That's not a bad one. I don't mind that. Modern Warfare 2 might be terrible. We don't know.
But we'll find out October 28th.
Yes, we will.
That's it. And thank you, Raven, for the 100 bits as well. But yes, there is one more thing that I'd like to have a chat about. I'm not sure if I want to mention the media outlet in question with this, but there was a certain media.
Oh, you mean Kotaku?
Okay, cool. I guess we're mentioning that. Just rip that Band-Aid off. But yes, Kotaku put up an article about basically it's about Xbox Game Pass burnout and how the lack of AAA titles are kind of hurting it. And I think the best part about this was seeing Xbox Game Pass Twitter account saying, tell me you limit yourself to only AAA games without telling me you limit yourself to only AAA games.
The best part about this was, like, and I can see one of them right there. So Stephen Ford, the gif that he dropped underneath that, Doc Ock, with the handout going, Rosie, I love this ratio, because it did. Like, this is very reminiscent of, God, it was, do you remember when, it's kind of reminiscent. Now that I actually think about it, it's not quite as similar. But do you remember when EA commented on the Reddit post about loot boxes and it became the most downvoted comment in history?
I actually don't know.
No, you don't know that.
No, see if, I don't know see, that one either.
Yo, Jam, you bring that up. Yeah. See if you can find that. Because it is out there somewhere. If you put in like Reddit, EA, most downvoted vote, I don't know.
So excuse me while I break
downvoted things. Comment in history. But yeah, like the ratio is hectic. I mean, that's like 60,000 likes to the 4,000 or 5,000 that the Kotaku got. Okay, so here we are. The most downvoted comment belongs to Electronic Arts, who racked up a score of -667,000 responding to a thread about its 2017 game Star Wars Battlefront 2. Yeah. And it was around the loot boxes.
Wow. That's a lot of downvotes.
And I mean, this is, now that I think about it, I mean, this is, you know, this could have been one of the great, we should have found a few more. You know, the times where companies have just been smacked. But anyway,
shot yourself in the foot moments.
Well,
the what was it? The Blizzard one, like the don't you guys have phones?
Do you not have phones?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean,
that didn't go down well either.
It's just stupid sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, Kotaku, like, they this is you know, this is part of their MO. I mean, their MO is to a degree, hey, this is the angle that they tend to come at quite a bit, don't they? You know, they know what people are going to sort of blow up over. They know what is going to get people to click on their stories. It certainly made me read the story because I was like, I saw it immediately. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And just jumped in there and had a good look around. But yeah, I mean, the story here is that these days companies are just, they've got balls. You know what I mean? Like they're like, all right, hang on. I know that I can have a bit of fun here. And look at the follow-up. Look at the follow-up underneath.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got Tom Warren, you've got Larry Herb, you know, Major Nelson, Mr. Bloody Xbox himself. You've got all the blue ticks.
I like that you've got the call the ambulance but not for me meme going on.
It's
there.
It's brilliant.
Too. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, don't get me wrong. The lack of AAAs and the postponements of the AAAs aren't a good thing. But, well, let me rephrase that. They're not a good thing from a Games Pass point of view. It's great that they're being delayed and giving devs time to make it right.
Yep.
We'll stress that one. But it is the big names that draw people to Games Pass. But the treasure that you can find on Games Pass is there. You just have to take a chance on some games.
Mm.
Like the Fleet and Son of Crimson. Yeah. I played that. I found that stupid deer game there and had a ball with it. And I've played a couple others. There was one called Donut County, which is basically...
I played that on Game Pass as well, yep.
Which is just a silly little game where, like, you're just little hole and you get bigger and bigger as you swallow more stuff. And it's just a silly little game. But, it's if you take a chance on some of those games on Games Pass, there is stuff there. Like, I'm on Games Pass Ultimate, which is $16-17 a month. I think that's about $204 a year.
Mm.
I've gotten it, if we're in May, I've gotten my value out of that already.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. I mean, you know, just looking at the picture that way to smack your own story though. Like looking at the picture that Kotaku have put up, the graphic. You know, the AAA games sitting in that graphic alone tell the story. But they do have a point, like, in because maybe the correct angle around this is that after years of hype, the AAA Xbox Game Pass burnout is here, right? Because I don't play. Now that's not a positive or a negative, but admittedly, I generally don't use Game Pass for AAA games, as you've been talking about.
Mm.
You know, I use it to discover things that I've never played before, and I think that is. Game Pass's strength, personally. But, you know, I mean, God, if there wasn't a method to their madness, I'm talking about Xbox and Game Pass, then we wouldn't see the sheer cavalcade of other companies diving in to do the exact same business model.
Yep.
You know, I mean, PlayStation has taken them ages to get their shit together around, you know, that. Here we are a few years into Xbox already having laid the foundations for that business model. PlayStation are really only just getting into it now. Mm. And yet, you know, you wouldn't expect them to be doing so if they didn't think that they had years and years and years and years and years ahead of them with this business
model. Oh, yeah. You don't spend that much on server infrastructure if you don't expect it's going to be there for a while.
No. Yeah, my experience with Game Pass is that I'm the reality here for me is that I'm more of a PlayStation gamer, right? I prefer the PlayStation games, in my opinion. Mind you, though, I play on every system, so I still want my Halos. I still want my Gears of War. Gears of War is my favorite, personally, of the Xbox franchises. So I don't own an Xbox, but I do have Xbox Game Pass for PC, which I think is now called PC Game Pass. I think they rebranded it. I pay, I think $10 a month for mine. And, you know, there's months where I get the PayPal notification where I haven't played a game on there for a whole month.
Mm.
And I go, oh, well, that always kind of sucks that you've paid for something and you're not doing anything with it. But think about it 2 seconds later, it's like, I didn't play anything, but still worth it.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. It's, I don't care, man. There's so much good stuff on there. And, you know, like you said, like, I'll play two games on there this year. Like, if I played only two games on there this year and I paid, you know, if I play two AAA games maybe, or, you know, a couple of indies or whatever, I'm getting my money's worth even if I don't play for like 3 months in a row.
You are, aren't you?
Well, I just look, last year I played Outriders, which is a game I wouldn't have touched if I had to buy it, and the Halo campaign, which both of those come pretty close to $200.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a good thing as well, is that, like, you know, a lot of people read reviews with scores and they see sevens and they think sevens, they think of sevens like twos, right, where they don't want to touch them afterwards. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff on Game Pass that is a six or a seven out of 10 that, you know, you end up playing and you might love it. And I've done that various times on the platform. And, you know, people are missing out. People are otherwise missing out, but they've got the opportunity on Game Pass.
A seven for me is you should play it at least once. Like that's, you know, like a 9 or a 10 is this is good enough to go around as many times as you like. A seven for me is you should play this at least once.
Yeah.
It's
and
worth,
I mean, like,
your time.
I could chat about games like scoring all day. But like reality is for me as well, is like, I've given games 5.5 out of 10 or 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10. And I love those games in a way. You know, like they might not play well. They might, you know, they might run poorly, or the story might be terrible, or, you know, the story might be good, but the gameplay is bad. But there's still merit in a 5 out of 10, 5.5 out of 10, 6. Mm. It's still passing.
Well, funnily enough, though, like for me, and I would probably don't want to get too deep into this because I think we've got like 10 minutes left, but I think we are so flush with sevens and above that for me, I look at a five and I go, if I've got time to play that five, then I'm clearly not finding all of the sevens.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like there are that many sevens plus now that are available to us that I shouldn't have to touch anything below.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's different in the sense that, like, a lot of the fives and the 5.5s that I experience are when I review things, right? And yeah, like, you work full time. You're not going to play the fives and the sixes if the seven, the eights, and the nines, and the tens are around, especially because you've only got such a finite amount of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, in saying that, there's still, if you've got the time and you see something and, you know, the opportunity is there to just literally install it and play it, what are you going to lose by at least trying it for half an hour?
Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. And that's the advantage of Games Pass and PlayStation Plus and the various flavors that it comes in, is that you might see a game that you might think is a five, but you go, it looks interesting, I want to make up my own mind. You could play it for 10 minutes and decide it's not for you. You haven't lost anything.
Yeah, like, and I mean, it's the reviewer's five. It's not your five.
Yeah, that's
right. At the same time.
Like, yeah,
you know, you might play it and it might be one of your favorite games. So that's what I think is pretty cool about the Game Pass, is like, you know, you've got your Halos, you got all your, you know, higher, you know, more popular stuff that people tend to gravitate towards.
Yeah. Well, especially with stuff like Bethesda being in there now,
which is the best,
yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah, and like the Activision Blizzard acquisition as well. Like those games will start appearing. You've got a select amount of EA Play games on there as well. Like there's so much there, but I love Games Pass for the indie stuff because
me too.
I might see something and go, oh, that's $20. Oh, I don't really want to spend the money on it. But a game's worth, like, I think when I looked it up and the Flynn Son of Crimson was about $20. And now I've experienced this game and I've loved it, but it's probably a game I wouldn't have experienced otherwise. Yeah.
It's a great point, mate. Really great point.
But
on that note, up yours, Kotaku.
Yeah. Go read a quality outlet like...
Do you want anything for Kotaku?
No, I don't, so it's okay.
Up yours, Kotaku.
Go read a quality website like, I don't know, GameOnOz.com?
Yeah. He hates them as well.
Hey, we're not too far off from new Goa website being launched. I feel like I've been saying that for about a year, but that's my fault.
You might be.
I've been dragging my feet on a few things for our beloved digital Hitman team who are building the website, but it is just about there. And it looks amazing, and I can't wait for it to be revealed. Are we not far off from wrapping things up?
I was just about to start wrapping up.
Hang around, like, join us next week because we've got some pretty amazing Hearthstone giveaways. So Nico has organized some stuff through some work he's doing with Activision Blizzard. There's the new Hearthstone DLC that's dropping very soon. So we're going to actually have some pretty premium giveaways next week. I think we're going to have 3 codes. So make sure you're watching. the show. And, yeah, that's really it, guys. Just a beautiful week of gaming ahead, really.
So good. So much out there. But thanks, everybody, for joining. Thanks for watching. Thanks, Grumpy, for coming along.
Yeah, no, all good. I'm happy to have come along. And, you know, although Stormy, you know, might resume this spot next week, you know, I might have to come in here a bit more often because it's been a lot of fun.
I think it'd be a good idea, mate. We've got another microphone.
Yeah, well, no excuses then.
Yeah, and it's not like we need two buckets. So
No.
That'll be good.
It's all hers.
And a big thanks, of course, to our mates at Aussie Broadband for the bloody good games of the week. Make sure you check out our socials, check out our Discord, be a part of the community, get involved and come and have some good fun and some good times. Until next week, guys.
Catch you then.
Yeah.
See you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Game on, legends.
Yes.
You have found us. You are here. You are watching our shit. Sorry. No, look, if for some ungodly reason you do really love it, click subscribe. It means that you get notifications and stuff when we upload more of this gear. So, yeah. That's really it.
We have a heap of stuff going up all the time.
Yeah.
So make sure you don't want to miss any of it.
I mean, it won't put food on the table. We get that. It's not going to earn you money watching our things. It'll earn us money. We're not even monetized yet.
No, we're not. That's how bad it is.
But I don't know, mate. Just do us a solid, I guess.
Please.
Cheers.